It's 93.3 WMMR. It's Nick McElwain from the Preston and Steve Show. I'm here with Sarah as well, and we're chatting with Langhorne Slim. And do you prefer to be called Slim, Langhorne, Sean? What preference do you have?
We'll just mix it up, depending on the question. Like, if you're happy, you could pick one. If you're angry, pick another. If you're disappointed.
Langhorne Slim and the Law, although the Law will not be joining you. And the reason we're chatting with you is that the Philly Music Fest is happening this week, Thursday and Friday, and you're gracious enough to come up and spend some time at Ardmore Music Hall. It's a live show with actual people in attendance, well, bands in attendance, I should say. It's going to be virtually streamed, but we're moving forward in the direction of doing live shows again. And as an artist, that's just got to be so great for you. What has your status been? What have you been able to do? What haven't you been able to do?
I've taken this time, I obviously nobody likes the reasons for the situations and circumstances that we're in. It's also been a blessing for me not so simply in just slowing down and simplifying. I think it was something I needed in my life. Don't know if I knew I needed it. And with any career, with any passion, with anything any of us do, I think there's some mechanism of machinery that's in motion. And so I think when the pandemic and the quarantine kind of hit, I was entering into a chapter or a whole new book or something where, you know, being inside, both literally and figuratively, just kind of like, I didn't do it in sort of a philosophical or intellectual way. I just think it was a necessity for me to sit still a little bit. And to just chill out, to find some quiet and to breathe, which is very challenging for me. I'm sure it is for a lot of people. It's like you can't wait to get some time off from work. Or for me, you know, sometimes you feel real excited to get home from a tour, but as soon as I walk in the door, I'm like, holy shit, what do I do now? And so that's been a pattern for me for many, many, many years. And so some sort of like forced stillness. Again, it's tragic, the various reasons why, in my opinion, perhaps we could agree to that. But I think that there is beauty in the madness. And I was living out in California for a while. I went back. I'm from Philly area, from the burbs, Langhorne, PA, Bucks County. But I was living out in California. I was renting a place out there. I got home right before, there was a big tornado in Nashville, too, the 2 weeks prior to the world really, you know, going on its head with the pandemic. And so it was just this really bizarre Twilight Zone kind of experience that was going on there. And I got home and I wrote in about 2 months over 20 songs, and I was able to record that with a dear friend and original bass player in the band, Paul DeFiglia, who's out in Nashville, and my beautiful friend Matt Davidson, who goes by Twain, for his music. So I wrote a bunch of music, recorded it, and that's been a tremendous gift just to have that to work on and put energy in and love into. And in that, I have, if I'm being very honest, which it would be, would seem foolish to lie to you nice people, I've hardly missed the life that I'm so accustomed to. I haven't missed being on the road and playing show after show after show. Which has been very strange to me. And I think it's because I've had this other work that I guess I needed to do. I'm definitely excited about this performance on Friday. And it's, you say like, it must be great. And we all are, I guess, trying to figure out what this looks like going forward. Right. I mean, it's a live show. There'll be some people in the audience, and it's also a digital online show. So it's like, I don't think most of us are used to that yet. So it's just sort of surrendering to where we're at, but not in a negative way, just seeing what the possibilities are, seeing how we can connect in a positive way digitally, as opposed to all the negative noise, you know, that we all see all the time. I know I'm talking a lot. You ask me a simple question, this is what you get with me.
Well, it makes for a good interview. It makes it easier for me because I have to ask.
It makes it easy for you.
Yeah.
I have a real talkative dude. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. You know, what I love about music the most, and I think what comes naturally for me since I'm a kid, is the performance element and the connection with an audience. So when you take the audience away, it's a real, I've tried some of these live stream things, you know, from the living room, that kind of stuff. And it's cool. And I don't begrudge anybody for doing it. Everybody's figuring this stuff out. But for me personally, I did some and I was like, I don't think this is for me. I couldn't feel it. I could play these songs in my bathroom, and I do, and I love it. But if I'm going to play them for people, I got to feel the heat, you know, the energy of an audience. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting I'm up for the challenge, and I'm grateful to be offered the opportunity, particularly back where I'm from here in Philly. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm just glad that there'll be some people actually in the audience beside the people that are manning and womaning the cameras.
Well, me too, and it'll benefit them. And if we're being perfectly honest with one another, the whole world has slowed down for everybody, including us here at the radio station. And we've gotten so used to going to many shows and having a lot of events and things going on for the entire year. And I have enjoyed the quiet as well. I've enjoyed the fewer activities. It's allowed me to spend more time with my family and do other things. However, that said, I feel like the instant I get back in an arena or an Ardmore Music Hall to see live music, I will remember that feeling of connectivity and how great it feels to be at a live show. And I'm in the audience. So for somebody who's up on stage, it's got to be an instant gratification thing for you to say, all right, I've been working on this. Here's a sample of the 20 songs that I was able to write. And then you get to test it out and feel what it's like to get that feedback again. Is that accurate in that assumption?
It makes total sense. To the extent, it's amazing that it's been so little time, but it feels like so much time. Hmm. At least it does for me. 7 months, 8 months, however long we've been in this world that we're now experiencing, it almost seems foreign to me to go to a music venue and play, you know. But what you're saying I could relate to so deeply, and it just makes me think. I've got I was back a couple months ago, and I was visiting my mom and my grandmother where I'm at now in Langhorne, and I went out to New York to see some friends, and one of my friends was doing she's running like a charity organization out of this music venue that is, of course, not operational, at least it wasn't then, closed down for the pandemic, obviously. And she's just doing this like beautiful work and collecting items to, you know, for this and that. And I went to visit her, and I walk in, and it's just her in this venue, and it just smells like, I haven't drank booze for 7 years, but the smell of like stale beer, and there's just like hot pea smell or whatever that smell is that just lives in like the true real like rock and roll bars and clubs in this country and in this world. And I'm just immediately like, oh, I'm home. I could breathe. It's amazing that some of us feel like we could breathe better with like 40-year-old stained beer floors and hot urine smell. But hey, it is what it is. But yeah, I agree. And I think as soon as we walk into the place, it's like, yeah, you don't skip beat kind of thing.
It's 93.3 WMMR. It's Nick and Sarah. We're chatting with Langhorne Slim about Philly Music Fest, which is happening Thursday and Friday at Ardmore Music Hall. Sarah, you had a question?
Yeah, not to linger on the effects of the pandemic and missing these things for too long, but I'm really relating to this. First of all, how visceral the experience is of being in a music venue and how we haven't had it for so long. But in the career path that we've chosen, and you as a performer, I think we get used to being overwhelmed, so much so in all of our senses that it's no longer overwhelming. So then when it goes away like it has, like you said, like, oh, this is what it's like to take a break, and you hardly even miss that hustle and bustle. But it's going to be really cool to see your performance at the Ardmore Music Hall, at least from my laptop on my couch. Are you going to be playing the new songs that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, we'll be playing. My friend Matt Swain and I will be playing a bunch of those songs. But if I'm understanding you correctly, I don't know if I'm just taking what I heard and running with it. But it's an interesting point, and correct me if I misunderstood what you're saying. There's maybe something about what we do in this line of living, this line of work or whatever, that almost preps us for the madness that we are in certain elements, where it's like you can have a tour for 2 months and then you don't, we're used to what I think a lot of people would consider just a sort of a chaotic way of life or not knowing really what to expect. So in some ways I think touring musicians, maybe I'm not saying that right, because obviously it kicks us in the soul's balls, if you will, in a lot of ways, and certainly in the pocket. And that's nothing to, you know, that's a big deal for all of us and for a lot of people who just don't even know what comes next or what to do. So no way am I diminishing that. I just mean sort of the lifestyle and the energy of it. It's kind of like in this bizarre way, like the rest of the world is caught up with this kind of lifestyle, just not really knowing what is coming next. And I don't know. I've felt, and I've talked to some other friends who've been, you know, touring for many, many years who are struggling, of course, in their own ways, but also like it's kind of just another phase of the insanity that we've been living for a long time. So I don't know.
Well, you kind of do know. I mean, I think these are really deep, thoughtful, insightful answers, and it's speaking to what we're all going through right now, which is struggle, because everything is so fluid. We don't know what's coming next week or next month. We don't know what the future holds. In a way, we'd gotten so used to the pattern. And for you, it's being out on the road and then coming home and then writing a new record and then going back out on the road again. I wanted to tell you that I listened to The Way We Move, the record again the other day, and I love it. It's a great album. And the song Salvation stuck out to me. I hadn't heard it in a while. And there's a line in it where you talk about looking for salvation, and you're searching for love low and high, and then you remember, I'm not getting it exactly right, but you remember that it's in your partner's eyes, right? And so there are these moments of reconnection that we have, and it's so easy to get away from those connections in the busyness of day-to-day life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this trip to Pennsylvania I've been doing once a month from Nashville. My mom is here in the house that I was born and raised in, my brother and I. My grandmother's 92. She lives here. And this has been my tour. Once a month, I get in the car. I'm still not getting on those planes at the moment, but getting in my car and making the trek out here and spending time with them. And I think that there's a number of reasons why for me personally, but I just have this feeling so much in my life. I've got, you know, one foot out the door no matter where I'm at. And there's something exciting about that. And I've always been, what would be the right word? I crave excitement. We'll put it like that. I crave adventure. But there's something new for me in feeling like just a little bit more at peace with where I'm at, and with more of just the intention of like being here with my family. I mean, I've got this show on Friday, but the other times there's not a show. There's not another place I have to go to. Something that's simple as that has been really powerful for me. Also, like the Zoom stuff, which I would have thought I would hate. And as much as I have sort of struggled with like a performance, live stream performance, I've had like 5-hour conversations with my cousins. My brother's in Argentina. My cousins are all over the country. And we always love each other, but I didn't know what Zoom was before this thing hit. That's for sure.
Right.
And yeah, it's like little things like that, but they're not so small. I think it's just forcing us to, I've gotten to know my next door neighbors better than I have in 7 years.
I learned their names. I didn't know my neighbors' names at all. I know exactly. Yeah.
There you go. But I think that these things they seem small perhaps, but like anything else, if it does seep in, it can. And I think it's so important for us right now, because if we all are spending so much time inside or in front of our screens, we're being told, and you know, they've succeeded in a lot of ways to divide us. I mean, we are divided in many ways, but we're also not. And I've always believed that we're not, as you know, you could get one person that believes one thing and another person that believes another thing. And I've been around people that believe a lot of different things than I do. And when it's face to face, it's a whole hell of a lot different when we're in front of our computers and all that sort of thing. So I think if some of that, the beauty of some of that connection that is also seeping in to a lot of our lives, I think that couldn't come at a more important time to sort of just pose this other madness. And I certainly hope one will maybe you need one to maybe you need the madness at such a level to experience possibilities for that beauty, some sort of yin and yang kind of deal.
Your song Great Divide, is that what that's about?
I've been predicting these last 3 years for, no. that's an old one. It's possible. It's possible that that's what it's about. I haven't thought of that song in a long time.
Hey, I'm curious, how are things in Nashville right now? What's the status there?
Weird, in my opinion.
All right.
Well, how do I answer that question a little better than weird? I think that it's weird for me to see when the reopening happened in the phases that it was sort of told, at least from my point of view in the part of town that I live in, it just seemed to be like, all right, everybody's sort of like back out there, back in business. I think it's, no matter if you believe in a mask or disbelieve in it, I happen to believe in a mask personally, but it's interesting to see that up close, to see that there's this kind of like people following one school of thought, people not following another school of thought with it. But I mean weird in that regard. I mean, Nashville is as sweet as ever. I think it's been hit tremendously hard in the last so many months, like every place has. But we had a pretty devastating tornado come through. I'm bad at time, but it was just about 8 months ago. And literally 2 weeks later, we're in full-on quarantine pandemic mode. So I think the word surreal has perhaps reached its limit. It's pretty twilight zone-y.
How has your mental health been?
Ups and downs, but I've been, again, like everybody, but I have, talk about the connection and the finding the ways to connect under the circumstances. I've had a lot of issues with addiction in my life and alcoholism, and just keeping plugged into a community that understands that and supports these mental health, keep trying to stay fit from within, which is difficult for most any of us, particularly, you know, in these times. And it's wild that issues like addiction, depression, anxiety, that, I mean, there's a lot of people that I know that can relate firsthand with these things. I think a lot of people who maybe haven't experienced it as much themselves are now, unfortunately, sort of getting a taste of it. So it's something that we could all relate to. And, it's tough because in the community with alcoholics and addicts and all of that, it's like it's almost rule number one, or it's a rule that's way up there, is to not isolate and do things to get ourselves out of our own heads and that kind of thing. And this has pushed people indoors and to be and into seclusion in a lot of ways. So I just think that there's 12-step programs, obviously, and just keeping plugged into all of that and looking out for each other and having people looking out for you is crucial. And I have felt the that level of connection actually sort of elevate in this time, which has been amazing.
You mentioned Zoom earlier. Have you found ways to collaborate with other artists that you wouldn't have been able to before, or just new opportunities maybe presented themselves over the last few months?
No, but I haven't been looking. I think it's a healthy way to have my head up my own. But I mean, I have collaborated, but it's with friends who I already have, you know, who I play music with regularly. But this has been, musically, it's been just riding this wave of all these songs that were showing up, particularly in the first 2 months of quarantining and the pandemic, and then going in the studio and recording those songs. And then, you know, it's almost seems like a blink of an eye in a couple months, it'll be out. So that's had, with the Zoom, like I sang some happy birthday songs, you know, I've said hi to a few people in that regard, but I haven't really collaborated with other musicians. I have had some interesting texts with some friends who I've wanted to, play music with for a long time that I don't know would have happened if we were all out there doing our thing. So we'll see what, you know, if that actually leads to fruit. I hope it will.
So does that mean that a new album is imminent?
Imminent, man. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's done, and there'll be, I guess we're going to start releasing some of the stuff. The album, I should know this, right? The physical album comes out in January, and then we'll start releasing stuff, I think, as soon as next month online.
Well, that's very cool. And you get a chance to showcase some of it on Friday. You'll be a part of Philly Music Fest at Albemarle Music Hall. Some really awesome artists, including Langhorne Slim, Mount Joy, Japanese Breakfast, The Districts, Arnetta Johnson, who Sarah was raving about yesterday. So we're all really excited. And just what a lineup. And this slow but steady incremental return to live music. is a great way to get back to it. You know, it's not everything all at once, and it's safe. Everybody's going to we were talking with Greg Seltzer yesterday, who puts on the festival, and they're going to clean everything in between sets, and so they're taking the necessary steps in order to make sure that everybody working there, artists and everyone alike, will be okay, will be safe, which is obviously of utmost importance. And then we get to enjoy ourselves. And I imagine you're probably looking forward to that as well.
I am indeed. And it's truly, it's doing the best with what we have. And I so appreciate the people on the other side who put something like this together. I'm certain it's a gamble and it must be a lot of work. And it just takes a lot of passion and heart. And having your heart in the right place, I think, just to try to figure this sort of thing out with the world that we're in currently. And I'm just grateful that people are out there doing it and to have an opportunity to be a part of it.
Last year, Philly Music Fest donated $40,000 to music education programs such as Rock to the Future, Girls Rock Philly. And so the goal, again, this year is to contribute to these types of programs. Can you speak a little bit about music education and what it meant to you in your life, especially early on?
I would attribute it to saving my life, quite honestly. I struggled in school academically. I struggled in school to sit still. I struggled in school to do what I was told when I was told to do it. I guess we could put it that way. It's a big part of the reason that I wound up going to Solbury School. We were talking about that maybe before the actual interview started. But I was asked to leave the public school out here. I think that they said I was insubordinate, which I didn't know what that word meant. I got to learn a new word from being called it like that, which is a pretty good word, you know?
Yeah, it's a very good word.
And I wound up going... You know, the way I look at it is like this. It's any school is going to have a certain kind of curriculum or line to follow. And I suppose not one place can accommodate everybody's needs. But when you are creative, when you're artistic, when you're musical, you might be a little bit spacey. Your mind just operates a little bit differently. If it's in any kind of box at all, it's not in the box that is often fed in these environments. And a tragedy that happens, in my opinion... well, it's not my opinion, it's a fact from my own life, is you can get told or you could believe that you're dumb or that you're bad or this or that. And then if you don't have the great fortune of people around you who will support you in whatever it is that you dig doing, if it's drawing, painting, playing music, or anything else, I think you could fully buy into the idea that you're not smart or that you're bad and kind of go down that path. And I think for me, I've always known that there's a very fine line between me being a professional musician, which was a dream I had since I'm a little kid, and a criminal or dead. And that's just straight up truth. And so being able to help support any kids getting into art or music or finding their true voice is, I look at it as it could be life or death kind of stuff. So there's very little that I see as more important in that kind of work.
I want to point out that Philly Music Fest is free to watch, but you can support the cause of supporting music education by donating to the Venmo, which is on our website, WMR.com. I believe it's at Philly Music Fest on Venmo. And you can find these streaming links to watch these performances on Thursday and Friday on WMR.com as well under Concert Calendar.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
We want to support it as well. And listen, WMMR has been around since 1968, and we love supporting whenever and wherever we can, and especially when it comes to causes like this, where people that need to have something like this in their lives are able to get it. And then in the course of doing that, we can do something fun and have artists like Langhorne Slim and all the other ones that I mentioned be a part of a great event. And so, again, that's Thursday and Friday, Ardmore Music Hall. PhillyMusicFest.com gets you more information. Langhorne Slim, thank you so much for taking some time and chatting
thank
with me
you.
And Sarah here at WMMR.
Before we go, I just want to say I've been listening to MMR since I'm a little kid. I probably learned the Kinks and David Bowie and stuff listening to MMR driving around, you know, with my dad and stuff on the weekend. And I got a kick out of hearing that you guys wanted to talk. So thanks for the opportunity, and I've been a a lifelong fan and supporter of what y'all do.
Well, the feeling's mutual, and we love chatting with artists, and I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and I'm really excited to see you virtually on Friday and then hopefully see you in person. We'd love to get you in studio sometime and maybe get a performance at some point, but good luck this week. Good luck with the travel back and forth. I'm with you. No planes anytime soon, but car rides are fun, and listen to some good music on your way up here.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Much love to you guys and to all the listeners. I look forward to seeing y'all soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.